Been looking forward to return this morning to our series in the book of Genesis. If you were here last Sunday, you know that we started a new sermon series from the book of Genesis and the very first words of the Bible. And today we want to continue with that and the great account of the creation that God gives us. The more I look and the more I read and the more I study in the book of Genesis, the more amazing it is to me. The beautiful picture of the hand of God, the Creator, the amazing Creator. And this morning I want to look at some of those early things in the first few verses of the book of Genesis. I will tell you as I begin that I have far more questions than answers. And every time I read the first chapter of the book of Genesis, I have far more to ask God about than I have answers for. I can't help but have a growing sense of the awesomeness of God as I study and as I think about this first book of the Bible, always drawing me to the authority of God in my life. I want to say to you that the purpose of this sermon series, in fact, the purpose of every time we open the Word of God should be to draw us to the authority of God, that God has something to say to us, and God has an area of our lives that He wants to speak to. Every word of Scripture, every book of the Bible, every time you open up God's Word, it should draw you to the authority of God. And this morning I hope that the book of Genesis will do that for you. The creation narrative affirms faith and draws us to the heart of God so that things that we don't understand and we have questions about, we still may have questions about, but we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt of who's in charge, that there's a God in heaven, a great Creator, a mighty God, and our faith and our trust can be in Him. I want that our study will always affirm and strengthen our faith in God and His authority over every area of our lives. However you wrestle with the first chapter of the book of Revelation, whatever questions you may have and however you understand and you come to see the hand of God, be sure that you allow it to draw you closer to the heart of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 is kind of a theme verse for this series, for this first part of the series, and it's a reminder of how important your faith is. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Your faith is important to God. Faith is always a choice. You make a choice about what you believe. You make a choice of whether or not you accept the Word of God as authority in your life. And the book of Genesis helps us to do that. When we read it with a mind and a heart that's saying, God, speak to me, He can help our faith to be stronger. It is so important for your faith that you believe that God exists. No one can do that for you. No amount of education. Your parents can't do that for you. You must make the choice to believe that God is real, that God will reveal Himself. The second part of that verse is important too, that He rewards those who seek Him, who diligently or earnestly seek Him. It is important not only that you have faith in the existence of God, but you believe that God will speak to your heart and your life. That's the kind of faith that God's looking for. He's not just looking for people who believe in God. Even the demons believe in God, the Scriptures say in the New Testament. But God is looking for people who are looking for and seeing that God's going to speak to their heart and their life. And to me, studying the book of Genesis helps to do that. We must believe that God is. I want to show you two pictures this morning before we look in the first verse of Genesis chapter 1. Two pictures from this week that I've come across. And both, now they're very different. They're quite opposite, but two things that just to me, I want to show you that affirm to me the creative hand and the power of God. The first picture some of you may have seen in the news this week. One of those great telescopes out there took a great picture, and I don't know how clear you can see it here, but it just kind of looks like a hand up there. And of course, they called it the hand of God. And you can put any title on it, but when you begin to look at the amazing things that come from the telescopes in space, I just kind of, my jaw drops sometimes with the amazing picture of the cosmos that God made. I took a lot of time this week looking at space pictures. I almost forgot what I was doing. I was enjoying it so much. All the beautiful pictures of the stars and the galaxies and the universe and all that exists there. You know, I read this week that there are 1.3 trillion galaxies estimated to be out there. Now, you know how big a galaxy is? Now, we live in a solar system, and that's big enough, you know? But a solar system is like one in 3 million stars in every galaxy, and every 1.3 trillion galaxies. Now, that's what astronomers are predicting now. Maybe in a few years they'll change it to 50.8 trillion galaxies out there. But every time I see a picture of the stars, and this picture, I don't know how many millions of stars makes up this picture, but it just affirms to me the hand of a creative and a mighty and a powerful God. I hope that when you look at the creation, it draws you absolutely to the existence and the authority of God. I think of Psalm chapter 19, verse 2, that says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of your hands." You know, when we go out at night and we look up at the stars, it should remind us of the glory of God. And so should every part of creation. But I want to give you another picture today on the other end of the scale that also affirms to me the wonder of the Creator and the mighty God. And that's a picture of a little precious girl that was born this week. Nadine Coletta Duke, Renee and Weston Duke, Weston grew up in this church until he moved away, and they had a beautiful baby girl this week, Nadine Coletta, Tom and Terry, the grandparents, and both of these pictures just affirm to me the wonder of life. I can't help but hold a baby and kind of have some of the same thoughts I do when I look up at the stars. How could God create something so beautiful, so amazing, life itself? God's creative might and power is so amazing and so beautiful. I hope that every time you pick up your Bible and you read about the creative power of God, that it draws you to His authority and His hope. I want to invite you to Genesis chapter 1 this morning, and we're going to read the first five verses of the Bible, the first five verses of Genesis chapter 1. Would you stand with me as I read these words, please? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day." Thank you. You may be seated. The first five books of the Bible, the first five books of the book of Genesis, chapter 1, cover quite an expanse of something. I guess we could try to use the word time to describe the first five verses of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, begins at a time even before time exists. Eternity past. The first four words of Genesis chapter 1, "In the beginning God," implies to us and tells us that there was something that happened before that beginning. In the beginning, God. And so the question that comes to my mind and my heart, well, what was before the beginning? What was it like before the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth? Another way to say it is, what about eternity past? I mean, it's one thing for me to understand the future and think about going on and on and on. That fits into my framework and understanding of time, but it's pretty hard for me to get a concept of what eternity past means. That way back there, long before time began, God existed. When was the beginning? If the beginning that is described in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it just brings up to my mind, well, when was that beginning? And where was God before the beginning? Where was God before the day that He made the decision and the choice to create the heavens and the earth? We'll call it eternity past, way back there. Well, this description, both before the beginning and in the beginning, and the first day of creation, are all encompassed in these five verses of this great chapter. How do we understand the beginning? And even further back, how do we understand before the beginning? And where was God and what did He do? The first four words of the creation story, "In the beginning, God," seems to be a starting point at which we can relate to. We can halfway understand the beginning point of of a time that God began to work and God began to move. It's like a reference point for us to see that God has a purpose. In the beginning, God is a reminder that God moved, God acted, and God has a purpose for life. It's a reference point for us to see that God is moving. When for us is the beginning, and what do we know about God before the beginning? There's some things that we do understand about the being of God before He began to create. One thing that we know from Scripture is that God alone is eternally existent. God is the only being, the only thing of which we can try to grasp and understand that He has always, always, always existed. I don't know or care how many times we put always in front of that. Whatever word you put in front of it for a moment this morning, just help me to think back and look back through time, through the Scriptures, through the first chapter of Genesis, to a time before God created the heavens and the earth. What must it have been like? Only God was there. Only God existed. And so He has no beginning. And we really don't have any reference point to understand this concept and this idea of eternity past. I love to kind of think about it and maybe read what some people have come up with, but I wonder, how do you wrestle with the idea of eternity past? To me, it is a great mystery that God allows for us to think about. Maybe we'll understand at the end of time when we get to heaven and God explains things to us, but I can't grasp what it means that God has always existed. But that's one of the fundamental truths about the existence of God. He is outside of time. He is before time. And we have no reference point to understand that. We can only perceive the beginning. Maybe that's why Genesis 1:1 starts in the beginning. God knows we can't understand His nature and His being even before that time, but He has existed forever and ever beyond our comprehension. We also know that God is infinite in His nature. God is unlike any other being that does and has ever existed. There's an infiniteness about who He is that is beyond any limitation that we possibly can understand. We are limited by time. We are limited by space, but God is not. God is outside of every measurable quality that we come up to understand the nature of God. His Spirit has no limitation. It has no boundary. His knowledge has no boundary in any way. He was alone but complete. He is the eternal, infinite God, and He was whole, but He was alone. No other being, no other created thing existed from before the beginning. There's no other one to compare to Him, and the Scripture gives us many pictures of that. There's no comparison to who God is. Even in a form that Isaiah saw Him, he understood that there was none that could be compared to the glory and the wonder and the marvel of God. There are many psalms that remind us that God is so far and above anything that we can see and think about that we got to remember that He's not in the same category of anything in life. Sometimes we might tend to bring God down to be like our uncle or maybe our grandfather or somebody kind of a benevolent person that cares about us, and we kind of think of Him in terms of a person, and we even talk about the personality of God, but the truth is His nature is beyond anything that we can compare to or experience. He is a sovereign God. He is an awesome God. He is in charge of and with complete control over everything of the creation because He was the Creator. He is the Creator. The creation came from within the character and the nature of God, and life comes from Him. We also know that before the beginning, God was also always of a triune nature. We know that God existed in the Trinity even before the time that He created the heavens and earth. John chapter 1 reminds us of the existence of the Word, the Son, that existed from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John helps us to understand something about the existence of this infinite, eternal, amazing God even before He created the heavens and the earth. Somehow God is complete. God is nothing needed to be added to God from the time of His eternal existence. And I don't understand that, but John tries to explain that to us. In the beginning was the Word with God, and He was God, the same as God, but with God. And then he goes on to say that the Word is what created. Somehow the fullness of the Godhead is a part of the creation. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all having a role and a part of the great creation. The fullness of God existed before the beginning of time. We see the ministry of the Godhead throughout the Scripture, the Holy Spirit and Jesus the Son and God the Father, but they existed all at the beginning and before the beginning of time. And then at some place in that eternal existence, way back there, God suddenly, at some moment that we might call ground zero of time, God does in verse 1, He created the heavens and the earth. We're told that suddenly God created the heavens and the earth. What did He create there? When we look at these words and the rest of the creation narrative, what was it that in the beginning God created? Well, we're told that God created the heavens. One translation says heaven. It kind of depends on the Hebrew word and how you express that. But God created, apparently, space. How big did He create it? I don't know. But 1.3 trillion galaxies fit into it, I understand, and probably a lot more. Somehow God created this open nothingness out there. We think it's open nothingness. At least that's all that is expressed that God created in the beginning. He created space. He created the heavens. He also created the beginning of time because He moved in history. He made a movement. He made an action. He began time. The clock began when God created the heavens and the earth. And I think of what maybe God created the solar system there, but possibly not, because God didn't create the stars until the fourth day. So it doesn't seem likely that He created anything else of the heavens except open space. He created time. But we also know that God created the earth. He created matter, you might say. He created water. We know that that first thing that God created in the beginning was this ball of something, this ball of goo, this ball of nothingness that had no form or shape. It was dark. It was black. It had no meaning. It had no purpose. It had no anything. But God created it from the beginning. And then verse 1 and verse 2 says, then God waited after that. He created the heavens and the earth, but yet He didn't seem to have any purpose in it. He didn't express any purpose in it. We know that He created it out of nothing. Ex nihilo. God created all of that, all of the expanse of space and whatever it is, however big it is, and the earth and everything that's in the earth. God created it out of nothing. How did He do that? We're simply told, not a lot of detail, we're simply told that God spoke it into existence. Somehow the voice of God rang out, and He created out of His nature physical things that we see. Perhaps not even measurable in our concepts is how God can speak out of nothing. Ex nihilo. What was God doing? Why did He create? And what do we know about this? Well, what we know about verse 2 is, one translation says that God was hovering over the waters. What did God do from the beginning? What did God do? Well, the only thing we know that God did, because it's said here, the only thing we know that God did from the beginning is He hovered over the waters. Think about that, hovering. Another translation says God brooded over the waters. Verse 2 says, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. Let me read that again. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Think with me for a moment this morning about what it means that God was hovering. Why was God hovering? What does it mean that God was brooding? From the Hebrew word that is translated brooding in some translation is kind of the teaching in other cultures that take part of the Genesis accounts, and they get from that the idea that the earth is kind of like an egg that hatched. They kind of use the same Hebrew idea that God was watching it as if something was going to happen. As if as God watched and brooded over the darkness and the emptiness and the void and the chaos, that God was watching it and he was closely paying attention to it. He was thinking about it, and who knows what was going through the mind of God as he brooded from the beginning over life itself and the creation. God brooded over the water. How can an infinite God hover? How can an infinite God brood? As we try to understand these things about the creation, that's a mystery that to really work on. How is it that God broods over the earth? Or this translation says, hovers over the water. Why did he brood? And why did he wait so long? He was brooding over what's called formlessness and emptiness and darkness. Somehow this eternal, infinite, complete, whole God is brooding over formlessness for some reason and emptiness. He had before him the elements of the creation. He already had created the elements. He already created the physical stuff, apparently, of most of the creation anyway, at least the earth. And whatever he created in the expanse, in the heavens. Why? I mean, just, if you can, just think with me a little bit. What's God doing up there from the beginning? What a mystery. In the beginning, it was formless as God brooded over it. And then God suddenly in verse 3, God begins to give form to the formlessness. He begins to give shape to the chaos. Verse 3 says, suddenly there was light. God said there was light. Notice how you go from the formlessness and the emptiness at the beginning of time to this progression of the giving of form to the creation. Notice in verse 4 a word, if you have your Bible open, and he separated the light from the darkness. On the first day of creation, God began to give form. He separated. He brought apart the light from the dark. And then later on in verse 6, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water. Here's an infinite, awesome, amazing God who begins to separate this chaos that is so hard for us to understand what it is. God separated. Then in verse 9, God gathered the waters together. He's giving form to it. God begins to fill the earth as well. In verse 12, you notice in verse 2 it says it's empty. And then in the creation story, every day God is beginning to fill it. God's beginning to fulfill it. God's beginning to bring vegetation in verse 12, and the sky with stars in verse 16. And in verse 20, he says, may the waters be full, may it teem with life. And God is filling it from the emptiness and the darkness and the formlessness of verse 2. God begins to act and change and bring about the creation from formlessness and emptiness to order and fullness. There was before the beginning. That's so hard for us to understand. And there's that in the beginning of God brooding over the heavens and the earth. And then there's the beginning of what we read, God acting and his voice when he says, let there be light. Somehow God begins to move in verse 3 on what we call the first day of creation. And the first thing that God does is he speaks. Somehow out of the quietness and the silence, I think of the word hovering, I think of the word brooding, and I think the Hebrew term is a word that implies a quietness, kind of a contemplative looking at and thinking about, you know, kind of like you would in a situation where you're not sure what to do, but you're thinking about it, you want to do the right thing, and you don't want to move too soon. And that seems to be the idea of the brooding Hebrew term, that God somehow waited for a long time. I don't know how long God waited, but suddenly, in the infinite mind of a perfect and infinite and all-knowing God, his voice rings out and he says, let there be light. Suddenly God calls forth from his own nature an attribute that awakens a formless and an empty and a dark something, and it becomes life. He gives substance to this emptiness. He gives an outline. He begins in day one to begin to make it so the creation that's been from the beginning begins to have meaning and have purpose. He overcomes and He creates a physical existence out of His spiritual nature when He says, let there be light. He speaks and His triune nature begins to create. As in John chapter 1 it says, nothing was created but that the Word has created it. He begins to create and form and divide and make meaning and purpose. What a creative and an amazing God. Let there be light. This is light emanating from His existence. Later on in the fourth day, God will create the sun and the stars. So whatever God created in day one is not the same as the sun and the stars. He created light itself, coming out of His nature, out of His being. On the first day of creation, He says, let there be light. Instantly, suddenly, He created something out of nothing from His own being. He saw the light and He said, it is good. He created light and darkness, it says. He created on the first day, day and night, or evening and morning. Later on, He will govern the light and the darkness by the sun and the moon and the stars. But on the first day, He just simply creates light, the source of something that's amazing. This word for light in verse 3, the Hebrew word is the same word that's found in Job chapter 38. It's translated lightning. God created the lightning, you could say, in Genesis chapter 1. It's the same Hebrew word used in Isaiah chapter 31 that says God made the heat. In other words, when we see the word light in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, we might think of illumination, and that is a very primary part of light, but this word is a much more powerful word. It means the power of God. It means the radiance, the heat, the power, the illumination of the Creator. God did something on that first day that actually put His nature somehow out for His creation to see and understand. I think of the relation to the understanding and the word in the Greek in the New Testament to Jesus being raised from the dead. You remember that at the tomb there was a great light, there was a great radiance, there were the angels, there were those that were there at the tomb, and it was an amazing light that knocked the soldiers down. And that's the same idea, the same concept of what we find in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. It's the power of God that's demonstrated in the first day of creation. Light is an amazing thing to think about. Why was it that God created and God gave us light first? Somehow He separated the light from the darkness. I noticed that God created the evening before He created the morning, because He brought light to give light to the world. The morning of created light, and He separated them so that both could be distinct. God's creative powers would allow for both light and darkness. The idea of darkness and light to me is such an interesting one to think about. Why darkness? Why not continuous light? At least we understand that until the last chapter of the Bible in Revelation chapter 21 and 22, God gives us another picture. It's interesting when you look at the first 20 verses of the book of Genesis and the last two chapters in the book of Revelation, how many of the things of the creation are kind of found in the very end of time and the very end of God's revelation and the end of whatever we think of eternity future. Just read the first chapter of Genesis and the last two chapters of Revelation, and you'll see things in there if you just kind of open your Bible and study them and think about them that I think will give you a lot to think about. And one of them is the light. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, God creates light. It's amazing how important it is for the creation. In Revelation chapter 21, look at verse 22. I think I have it up there. It says, the city does not need the sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, for there will be no more there. Somehow the glory of God is expressed in light. We don't worship light, but somehow there's something about light that somehow, some way back there in the creation and our understanding of the concept of an amazing God, there's something about light that is very deep. Something about light that shows us the nature of God. For the glory of God gives it light, for there will be no more night there. It says in the next chapter, chapter 22, it talks about that again. He says it again, that God will be their light. Somehow the nature of God is reflected in the creation on the first day. From the beginning until the end of time and beyond into eternity, we see the hand of God and the creative power of God. We honor and worship an amazing and creative and powerful and wonderful God. We find that God really does reach into eternity and He reaches into our lives. What's amazing about the story of creation is God is beginning something. God is beginning to create. He's beginning and He has a purpose and a plan. And we're told throughout the Bible, what's God's plan in creation? He wants to create man in His own image. He wants a relationship. I don't know how to understand that either. I don't know how to understand that God created man in His image and He did it for a reason and a purpose. God created man because He had a reason to. God created you because He had a purpose to. God has a purpose for your creation. You study through the first chapter of Genesis and you begin to study through the rest of the Bible and see that God continues to reveal Himself and reach out to man. God has a purpose for you being here. God had a purpose in the beginning. He had a purpose to brood over the waters. He had a purpose to speak the light into existence, and He has a purpose for our lives. The amazing thing about studying the creation of God is to know that God is reaching into our lives and cares deeply about us. This amazing God that goes eternity past cares deeply about your eternity future. That's an amazing thing about the holiness and the wonder and the power of God. First with a light, but then He began to reveal Himself in every day of creation. Every day of creation is the layering of God beginning to reach out and reach up and reach toward the place of a relationship with mankind. Every part of creation is a step that God takes in the purpose of His creation, which is the creation of man in His image, and that we would have a relationship with Him. I think of all the things that God gives us and reveals to us. First, in the first day, it's the light. Go on to that next picture. You have the light. Then you have God revealing Himself in the next 6 days. And then you have all the stories in Genesis, Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel and Methuselah and Noah. And you just go through. And every part of the Bible, God is reaching for and pointing toward a fulfillment of the purpose of creation on day one. You're a part of that. And the story includes the Word from the beginning coming and living a life before us. For the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Part of the glory of Genesis chapter 1 is also the story of the Word that comes and lives a perfect, sinless life for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the same story, separated by untold eternity and our time, but fulfilled in Jesus. And then God offers to us a relationship with Him. You wonder, why did God brood? Why did God speak the light of existence? Why did God do everything in creation? I think it's fulfilled in that bottom right-hand picture on the screen. And that is that God wants a relationship with you and I. That is God. That is the God of the Bible. That is the God that you can believe in. That is a God that you can choose to have faith in and know that God has revealed Himself. I want you to know today that there's a great, mighty, creative God in heaven who cares deeply about your life and my life. And He's to be worshipped and honored with awe and reverence. I know my words today are so haltingly poor to describe Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. But today I want to convey to you how important it is, the holiness and the wonder of a creative God. He is an amazing, amazing God. You open the Scriptures and you read the stories and you see the cross and you see what God's done for you. I hope that it will draw you to a faith that's real in God Himself. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Debbie, would you come and play that? And I'm going to invite you to stand and sing that song with me this morning. And I want to invite you to worship God from your hearts. And maybe you might be here today and you think, I've never really thought about God in a personal way. Maybe He's a great creator to you. But I want you to know today that this same amazing and mighty God wants a relationship with you. That's such an important part of the story. Dear Heavenly Father, today I thank You that You are a great and mighty creator. I pray that as we read in these first early truths of the creation, that it will draw us to honor You and have a respect and an awesomeness for You. You're a great and a mighty God. I pray that our faith would grow stronger. Help us to choose to believe. Help us to accept You for what You've revealed to us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here today. God bless.